Inside Wirtschaft, der Podcast mit Manuel Koch.
There have been 203 initial public offerings this year. The latest include Airbnb, which skyrocketed last week. Can this be a long-term success? This is the IG Trading Talk, and I'm Manuel Koch. And joining me now are Salah Idina Boumidi, he's the head of markets at IG, and Peter Tuckman, the legendary Einstein of Wall Street over 35 years on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. Guys, so good to see you.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys. Good to see you.
Peter, last week was an exciting week on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. Everyone kept an eye on the IPOs, and I think the biggest IPO was Airbnb. Like I said, the stock skyrocketed. What do you think? Do you have a good feeling when you see a new stock skyrocketing like that? Do you think it could be a long-term investment, or is it just a quick success and in a few months maybe nobody is really talking about it?
You know, it's a great question. I'm glad we're addressing it. You know, I'm actually back on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, and I'm actively trading for the company's customers. And I was in the DoorDash IPO, which is what I would rather discuss because it's very fascinating. So DoorDash, look, we obviously have the New York Stock Exchange. We have the NASDAQ, and all the platforms are solid, and I appreciate them all. However, what we've seen, the IPO market is hot, okay? We've seen over 100 of them this year on the NASDAQ and the New York Stock Exchange. We're seeing listings come in the form of direct listings, as we saw happen to Spotify. We're seeing SPACs, right, which is a whole nother discussion we should talk about one day also. And then we're seeing the IPOs happening on the floor of the stock exchange. Let's talk about what happened last week. The IPO space is hot. There's a thirst for it. We need to really address the fact that since March, as we've talked about before, there's been a huge spike, more than 80%, in small new retail investors into the marketplace. We have people who are sheltered in place, people are at home, people taking control of their money, and the thirst for investment, for trading, is off the charts. It's irrational euphoria, as we've seen in the pricing that happened in the IPOs that traded last week. So I believe the thirst is there. I believe, you know, we've seen years where IPOs are getting the attention of everybody, the focus of them, and we've seen that be the flavor of the moment, and then we've seen it sort of sour, right? We saw, you know, companies go public like the Ubers of the world and Richard Branson's company. There was super exciting, and Spotify too, right? But that were companies that were not profitable yet, but the excitement was out there and people liked to invest their money in them. From an investment point of view, they were, I believe this, for the most part, Lyft, Uber, whatnot, they were probably a good long-term investment, as we've seen. Obviously, you know, we have new rules, no rules, and new rules 2020. So things are a little bit different, but and I'm sorry to be so long-winded, but it's a really hot topic at the moment. And then we've seen companies that go public this year that were very, very pandemic friendly, that were a business model that really thrived, right, in the pandemic space because people were at home, people were online shopping, people were just sitting there and focusing on these things. Let's talk about what happened last week. DoorDash, which listed on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, started to, and so when it becomes hot and when it becomes an exciting focus of people, sometimes the actual valuations get, as I say, irrational euphoria, you know, and as per your question, are these really just great trading vehicles or are they long-term investments? We saw DoorDash start out in the beginning of last year looking at valuations of $65, $70. Then it kind of got lifted up with the pandemic up to the $90 level as everyone was home. It's a food delivery company, let's be clear, right? It does have some competition in the Grubhub and the Seamless and in the Uber Eats and whatnot, but they were the flavor of the moment. They were the ones going public. We saw with the euphoria about that company and the IPO within the pandemic space because everyone was ordering in, right? The DoorDash just seemed like, oh my God, this is what we're going to do. It got repriced up right before last week, up to $102. I was in the crowd on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. And what we do best, one of our greatest assets, is this price discovery process, right? Where a stock opens in the IPO, and everyone should know this, we could do a whole no show on it, the initial public offering, meaning that you're giving the opportunity for the public to price the stock. And the process of price discovery on the floor of the stock exchange with humans, and you know I always talk about that because we are the only human open outcry market, that the way a new stock goes public and trades, the way it opens, the way the transparency to the investment community will really prove to curate the way the stock trades going forward. The stock came out at 102. There was so much interest after 4 hours of transparency, price discovery. We opened at 182. And to show how well it was done on the floor of the stock exchange, the stock dipped for a moment and then traded much higher. As I say, we're building a building in the IPO market when we open a stock, right? You don't put a brick up at the top when you start building a home. You build a foundation. And that's what the IPO is, the IPO process, price discovery is. And the way we opened it has proved over the last, what we saw last week coming into Friday was that the stock has maintained that valuation. Now, in my opinion, once the pandemic, we get a handle on it and whatnot, you know, as a long-term investment for a food delivery system to be valued at $80 billion, right, seems a little bit irrational, right? And it may be. So I think it's more of a trading vehicle. It's the flavor of the moment and perhaps maybe not a long-term bet. Airbnb launched on NASDAQ. NASDAQ is completely electronic. We saw the same euphoria as we've seen the excitement happen in all the pre-IPOs that are out there that are starting to trade up, the SoFis, the TikToks, the Impossible Meets. Everybody is wanting to get on board. Another thing we'll talk about later too. But what we saw the difference between the New York Stock Exchange and NASDAQ, right, is that the opening price on NASDAQ at 157 or 162, wherever they opened Airbnb, was the high of the day. So our building of a building showed its sustainability with DoorDash trading higher, while the NASDAQ market did see the minute it opened, it went straight down. So that irrational euphoria of an electronic market did not have the foundational skills that we had. Now, obviously, if you look at Airbnb on another $80 billion valuation, right, is the same as it, how much sense does that make? It's also a pandemic-friendly stock. But if you look at it, that's the same valuation if you add up Marriott and two or three other of the largest, Hilton, I think. If you add three valuations of the largest three hotel companies, it's still less than the valuation of Airbnb. So it's exciting. I think it's going to keep going. We've got a lot on the table for more IPOs coming in the next year, right? So I love the space. I love the excitement. But people need to do their homework before they just hit a button and buy 100 shares of these things because they are volatile.
Really nice and fascinating ideas coming up in my mind that we need a special webinar, especially for the audience, talking about IPOs from the floor, with an experienced person like you, the Einstein of Wall Street. This is something what we definitely need to do in 2021 as a new starter thing that, yeah, it's a completely interesting, absolutely fascinating thing that we will need to do. Anyways, year is coming to an end and conditions are changing worldwide since we had the corona pandemic. An interesting anecdote is that at the beginning in January 2020, one journalist on the Amsterdam Stock Exchange asked me, Salah, what is your outlook for this year? I said, Guy, we are in a US election year. US election years are good. And the January effect, the first 5 days of the S&P 500 closed higher than the first day. So these are two conditions saying that the market will close with a positive profit at the end of the year, which will possibly happen this year. And even if we had Corona, because I didn't know that we will have Corona a while. So, and if you would ask me in June, like saying, hey, you said this in January, what do you think? I would not, maybe we'll stay on that path. So everything changed. My question, to make it short, is what conditions are favorable for us in the upcoming year for S&P 500, for the stock market especially?
So look, we are, you know, as you, we've seen so much evolve, and it's evolving on a daily basis. You and I, we traded through the election while Mr. Trump had said that if Mr. Biden wins and that administration becomes the new guy in town, the market will crash. Well, that's proven to be a falsity. Mr. Trump is still fighting for his life, because I believe his fear is that once he becomes a regular citizen, then the door, that the guys are going to come knocking at the door. We're seeing Mr. Biden put together what seems to be a solid administration. We are seeing, obviously, the factors that will affect the coming year are the health of the consumer, the vaccine, the ability, the logistics to be able to disseminate that, and when will we get a chance to really flatten the curve on this virus that is devastating your continent as well as ours. First thing, the health of the consumer. If we go back to February 12th of last year, why was the market trading at a record high? Because we had low unemployment, a healthy consumer, people with some savings, robust balance sheets of the banks. The lifeblood of this market is a healthy consumer. So those are the things we need to do. We've talked about a vaccine, volatility, and the virus. So that's a big part of the story, as we're going to see. The market, as we know, is not the economy. The market is trading at record highs. We have seen over the last week the market consolidate. I would say, you know, there are lots of different words you could talk about. We hit record highs, Dow 30,000 since we last spoke, right? And we are above 30,000. The NASDAQ hitting a record every day, except for a couple of days last week where you saw retracement, consolidation. I think we're seeing a rotation, just talking into, before I address 2021, seeing how the end of this year will pan out, right? As we've also said, that normally when you see the Santa Claus rally happen early, which we saw as a culmination of the relief that the election was over, Mr. Biden perhaps is in place, and we saw that rally in November. Historically, December is a little bit disappointing from the Santa Claus rally point of view. However, we're seeing this market last week consolidate, pull back a little bit. It could be rotation in and out of different sectors. People may be selling the outperformers and buying the underperformers. We're seeing that shift in NASDAQ. We've had days where the Dow was up and the NASDAQ was down, and the reversal, right? We've seen the days where the Dow was up and the S&P was down. So we've got Tesla coming into the S&P 500. That's a big factor. We see the EV space becoming very exciting. The IPO space becoming very exciting. We're not seeing the waning of this young, new retail investor into the market. And I don't think we are, right? 2021 will be a fascinating year. I don't think Mr. Biden is going to do anything to interrupt a recovery like what people's fears are of the Democratic Party historically, saying we're going to go back to big regulation and we're going to do it, we're going to adjust taxes and whatnot, which is what the Dems get blamed for. And, you know, and people's fear is that will halt the huge rally we have. I think we're going to see a stimulus package, I hope soon. The people out there in the economy need a lifeline right away. The market seems to be marching on. Whether we see a little more of a rally coming into the end of the year, historically, when markets are down into December, you see a bit of a markup and people are trying to position themselves and get the best out of the positivity they can at the end of the year. And then we see markets that are at record highs coming into December. We do see some profit taking, tax selling and whatnot, right? On both sides. 2021 will be a fascinating year. It's a matter of how we get the virus under control. How healthy is the consumer? The economy needs help. The economy needs a lifeline. And as we know, the economy and the markets are trading in a different level. Will the economy catch up with the market? I sure hope so. Will the market catch up with the economy? I don't hope so. But it will be fascinating to see once we sort of get a handle on this, how long will it take for people to start, you know, when we're healthy enough to start going back to movies, start going back to sports venues, start going back to casinos, start getting on planes? That will really, once we see that happening, this market is going to the roof, in my opinion.
Peter, I totally agree, and I would expect 2021 to be a good year as well. The central banks are still sending millions and billions to the markets. We have the programs of many states helping the economy. Where can the markets be in the end of 2021? Is it 35,000 for the Dow?
So, you know, my disclaimer is I can't predict, but I will make a prediction. You know, just for curiosity, I would say a fun number to throw out would be a Dow 35,000, S&P 4,000, right? Those seem like nice milestones that we should be looking forward to. But as I said, look, this market tends to price in things going forward, right? Wherever this market is at this time is a function, as we've talked about for the last year, you and me and Manuel, is a function of stimulus, is a function of liquidity being pumped into the market by the Federal Reserve. You know, it is a function of all of that, obviously not really engaging or taking into account the state of the economy, right? So we've got these two things that are not trading in concert, right? So 2021, if we're looking at now the vaccines, still a very big challenge, still a lot of unknowns. Obviously, the media is trying to grab onto anything they can to give hope and positivity to the human race, right? This is a human race problem. This is a health crisis of the human race, right? So once we get a handle on this, whether it's June, whether it's September, when we're able to get 70% of the population vaccinated, and obviously there's fear by different parts of our society to be vaccinated or not, and fear of vaccines that were fast-tracked and rushed. If, let's say, in September, as the story evolves over the next 4 or 5 months, excuse me, and we're actually able to get this thing in check right now, right? We're in the middle of December. We are at record highs. We are suffering a spike from Thanksgiving. My fear is, and it's not just my fear, we're hearing it all around, that it's going to be a dark winter, that the spike that we're seeing now from Thanksgiving is testing all the levels of our mental, of our health system, from hospitals and whatnot. The deaths, 3,046 people died last week in a day. That's more than happened in 9/11. That's more than happened in many of the crazy crises in our history. So what about Christmas and New Year's, right? What is that going to look like for February and March? And what they talked about is that a vaccine is like a fire hose, that you go onto a fire. And if the fire is already out of control and raging, it takes more than one fire hose and a long period of duration of fighting that fire before you get it under control. So we still have a lot of obstacles and things going on to get this under the control, even though we are now seeing the incredible hope that we have for this, for the vaccine over the next 4 or 5 months, right? So as per your question, Manuel, 2021, I'm hoping to be one of the great, great years for the market, because we're at this level now. We're still with the economy being quite a challenge. And once we get a handle and we get the consumer healthy and the human race healthy, and we're able to come back to some level of normalcy, and I don't believe our world and our lives will ever be the same. Let's not get this twisted, right? But the market will react to that in such a positive way when we start seeing the rally in the airlines, right? In the casinos, in the hospitality industry and whatnot. And that's going to be a 6 month, that's going to be a 6 month project. So,
yeah, this is something really important, and I'm really curious about the next year. And I think volatility remains not in the same level. We will have, I think, some euphoria that can be made by the vaccine that we told, the three V's that we said: volatility, virus, and vaccine. But one of them, the volatility will remain. And I can see that with, technically speaking, with the Bumidi bands, where we had really nice signals. You have seen that last week as well, as we have discussed about it. So speaking about volatility that is driving the markets, how much volatility is there in creating new heads in the upcoming year? So speaking of, what do you think, for example, in Bitcoin? Do we create a new head? And if yes, on which level do you suppose to think about it?
So, you know, it's very funny. While we're talking, I just saw a tweet come by that by John Bollinger to you saying that I agree. How exciting is that, right? One of your mentors. But and I've been watching the Bumidi bands, and you've really been able to predict a lot of the resistance we're seeing over the last couple of weeks, that we hit these record highs, but we have not been, and we did hit 30,000 in the Dow, and we did kind of blow through it to a certain extent. I don't think we've built a base to go higher yet. And the Bumidi bands are proving that out, right? That the all across the board, the tech sector, the Dow, the S&P, are hitting up against some technical levels, as we once again saw with Bitcoin. Right. Look, the euphoria, as irrational as it was when Bitcoin got to 19,800. We've seen this before. And everyone, you know, if you look at my website, I made it a Bitcoin 20,000 hat after we had our last chat. And we talked about it in our last show that I'm newly intrigued by the space, right, by the EV space and the Bitcoin space. However, it got to 19,800 as it had done. I don't know if it had ever gotten to 20,000, but a number of years ago. And we traced all the way down to what? 2,500. So we're seeing it again. We're seeing days here where we're down 400 one day, 300 down another day. So look, the bottom line is that profit taking? Is that resistance technically or whatnot? You know, there are still some unknowns. The Bitcoin space, the digital currency space, while you could create a story how it is the way of the future, that we are no longer ever going to be using money again, obviously with the pandemic and whatnot, no one wants to touch, right? We talked about it, that incredible guy in Africa who created the whole, you know, when pandemic started, he created this small digital currency exchange in West Africa, and that thing skyrocketed. So there are still, there are still challenges by the regular investor, as it challenged me to think of is to invest in something that is in the cloud, right? That I can't touch, right? I like to be able to touch something. So however, going forward, you know, technology is something that I've fought for many years just because I'm technologically challenged. But we're seeing that the world doesn't really care what Einstein has to say here, that they are going to go and endorse. We're seeing it across the board with banks. We're seeing it with payment systems, PayPal and whatnot, that they are starting to endorse and open themselves to the possibility of a digital exchange and the support of the digital markets. Obviously, Bitcoin is the most well-known one. I do know people who I've spoken to, now that this has spurred my interest, people who are sort of rotating out of Bitcoin at those highs in the 19,000s and getting into some of the more undervalued, less well-known digital currencies. I'm sure you're doing that too, the Ethereums and the other ones, right? Because Bitcoin is a high flyer, right? And we see high flyers that can come down, right? And that can happen. So obviously 2021 will be fascinating, whether 20,000 in Bitcoin becomes a base and we can go through it. Dow becomes a 30,000, becomes a base, we can go through it. NASDAQ 12,000 plus becomes a base and we can go through it. We need reasons, as we're seeing this little bit of a consolidation and a rotation and a technical halt in all the indices in these first couple of weeks of December. Hopefully with whatever happens with the virus, with the volatility and the vaccine, hopefully these will become bases to go higher. So I'm excited about it. I think we are going to see, look, the 4 years under Trump have been wildly volatile. The pandemic year has been wildly, wildly volatile, and it's brought in so many new people into the marketplace. And I think that's going to fuel some of the volatility too, because you have new immature traders in the marketplace. The investment community is solid. They're not just pressing buttons blindly. They're making investments on fundamentals, but you do have millions and millions of people worldwide who are getting involved in the market, who don't have the foundation. We talk about it all the time, that fundamentals and technical analysis are really the lifeblood of learning how to make this market. It's all fine and good when markets are going up and you hit a button and you're right, but young people and people who are newcomers to the marketplace in a volatile marketplace can get blown up just as easily as they can make money, right? And you buy Kodak at $2 and it goes to 60 and you start buying it at 60, right? You get yourself in trouble, right? So all that being said, I think volatility is here to stay, right? And I think the market should forge higher as from here.
Stay tuned, folks. In 2021, we will have webinars specially talking about this, learning how to react on the market, to find your chances, and to manage your risk.
Correct. And what we always talk about, and we've done it before, is, look, everybody can get into a trade. It's a matter of how successfully you get out of a trade. Everybody can make money in the market. It's a matter of preserving your capital. Everybody can make money when the markets are going up. It's a matter of never turning a winning trade into a losing trade, right? It's about preserving capital, right? And that takes education, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's, you know, the language of the markets, stop orders, right? Resistance, technical analysis, moving averages. You know, these are the things people need to know, right? You, as long as everything's going up and everything's fine and good, ringing the cash register, not turning a winning trade into a losing trade, taking acceptable profits and not waiting around for unacceptable losses, right? These are the important things in the market. You always hear about people, you know, who are swinging big money around and they're making all their money. We don't hear about all the guys who are blowing up. I read a story the other day about a very wealthy young kid who a Russian guy who apparently lost $50 million day trading. Well, that's madness. You know, there's this guy, David Portnoy, who is the Barstool guy, who, you know, who obviously is super bright. He's not particularly personable to me, but he made a lot of money in his world of gaming and whatnot. He went, you know, they became a very wealthy man, and he started flinging it around in day trading, thinking it was a get rich easy scheme. And he got his nose knocked in a couple of times before he sort of stepped away from it. So me and Manuel, implore. We love to give people a nice microcosm of the market, the bigger picture to the best of our ability, but we cannot emphasize enough that this is not for the faint of heart. This is not a get-rich-quick scheme, that fundamentals, technical analysis, and education are the key to somebody who wants to learn this market and invest, right, but be able to preserve their capital. And that's the best message we can give as experienced traders.
And we will do.
Guys, thank you so much.
Stay tuned.
I think we have a great program for next year ahead, and hopefully the markets will be providing us great opportunities. So thank you so much, Peter Tuckman, the Einstein of Wall Street, and Salah Eddine Boumidi, head of markets at IG. Guys, thank you. All the best.
Thank you so much. You will be seeing us in 2021. They've signed us on. We're going to keep going, guys. Thank you, Manuel. Thank you, Salah.
And thank you for watching. This was the IG Trading Talk. If you need more information, check out the website ig.com. Thank you for this time and see you next time.
Bye-bye, guys.
Bye.